This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture, and I'm Carla Sapsford-Newman. Turning cutting-edge research like space technology into viable commercial businesses is what Uli Fricke, founder of the Triangle Venture Group, does for a living. In this exclusive interview with her during her visit to Malaysia for the 4th Global Entrepreneurship Summit, we ask her about the business of venture capital, what keeps women away from this industry, and the advantages of being a woman in business.
What would you say sets Triangle Venture Capital Group apart from other like-minded venture capital organizations?
Well, we're certainly the only venture capital firm in Europe that for almost 20 years now has focused on the commercialization of research spin-off companies. And our latest activity is to work with the European Space Agency to commercialize space technologies in real businesses on Earth. So we take a technology that has been deployed in a satellite or in the International Space Station and turn it into a medical device company, an internet-related business, a communications company.
Talk about that trajectory, because it takes a specific type of skill set, doesn't it, to see the potential in one technology and see the potential for it in another.
It's all about the commercial focus and the commercial success potential. So we look at industries that have innovation opportunities, that are willing to take up new technologies to resolve existing challenges. And then we match those innovation opportunities with the technologies available in the context of space technologies. The European Space Agency owns more than 8,000 technologies at the moment, so there's a huge opportunity. And we actually do this on a global scale. We have business operations in a number of European countries. We're active in South Africa, we're active in Russia, and we're active in Malaysia to help entrepreneurs and to bring these kind of technologies to successful businesses.
And how do you do that matching? How do you find each other?
It's a lot of work that we first do internally with our own analytical skill set and identify those industry opportunities that we then match with the technologies. Then, of course, the next question is, where are the entrepreneurs? And this is different activities in different countries. So in Europe, we are around for a long time. We have our network of access to entrepreneurs. In Malaysia, we're actually starting to build this activity and are looking towards partners that might be able to connect us and the opportunities to entrepreneurs in Malaysia.
Why Malaysia?
From a European perspective, Malaysia is actually a very exciting country and one of the best access points to Southeast Asia for a number of reasons. English is broadly spoken, which is one hurdle that is not there compared to many other countries in Asia. If you look at Korea, which might have a comparable market size, there is a huge language barrier. China, which seems to be a broad market opportunity, is much more difficult to manage and navigate for startup companies. Malaysia has a real economy, so it's much more sizable and scalable than Singapore in comparison. And the legal system is also feasible and conceivable for European companies.
Tell us about the skill sets that you have in your company to be able to recognize the potential in, say, a patent or a scientific advancement and able to connect the dots. So how does that process work?
So the core skills in Triangle is actually both industrial and entrepreneurial. All of our senior team members have industrial expertise in innovative areas of business, whether that's IT, telecommunications, medical devices, or our entrepreneurs that have built successful businesses, so that we have a scope of understanding of what makes companies successful. At the same time, of course, we need to be able to identify technologies. So we do have people in our team with very strong technical and academic backgrounds so that they can speak the same language with the people that have developed and invented the technologies. For us, it's about being able to deal with the technology source side in an efficient way and at the same time dealing with the entrepreneurial and market universe our portfolio companies are active in an efficient way as well.
Many times technical people aren't the greatest at communicating the value or the significance of what they're doing. So how do you do that translation between people who might be very brilliant at science or technology and the business people who are very good at talking but maybe not have sort of the science behind an idea?
We have been very careful in selecting our own team, and we were able to find a few people with technical background that can make that translation, that have actually own strong entrepreneurial track records in technical industries because they have that skill and capability. So we can help do that within our own team. And to that end, we can very often help those entrepreneurs that cannot really articulate their ideas in the best possible way than to find partners to do that for them. It's also not only about being able to articulate an idea, it's also very often that very skilled technical people do not really understand what their potential customers tell them. So it's this translation in both directions, what it means for a technology to become a commercial success, meaning being a product that finds customers because it serves a specific customer need.
And how did you get into this business?
I'm an entrepreneur by my own rights. And after I had started and sold my second company, I wanted to do something that deals with a lot of opportunities and a lot of entrepreneurs and where there is a constant, very high and steep learning curve. So in the early 90s, venture capital sounded like a way to do that. So Triangle in itself is a very entrepreneurial undertaking. We started it from scratch with two people and zero external funding and built it to what it is today.
Are there many women in venture capital?
Well, I have been the 30th chairman of the European Private Equity and Venture Capital Association 2 years ago and the first woman in that role. That already tells a story in itself. And there is possibly two other ladies that are CEOs of venture capital firms in Europe in an industry that is 800 firms large.
What do you think keeps women from joining this industry?
It's actually a question that I find is much broader. What keeps women away from heading innovative firms? And I think a lot has to do, at least in Europe, with role models. We have little to no role models. Actually, in Triangle, we have a comparably high female staff in senior investment management positions, I guess in a way because there is a role model for women to do these kind of jobs. And that's true for many other industries. If we were more conscious about positioning successful women as role models in Europe, we might have more followers.
For instance, I read recently there's a term in Germany now, Rabenmutter.
It's Rabenmutter.
Yeah, so in other words, the raven mother who abandons her child to go off into the office and leaving him or her to be raised essentially in the wild. So it's a very pejorative term. Do you think there are certain social norms in some European countries which keep women from joining the workforce?
It's certainly a German term for a reason, and many European countries are different to that end. In France, in the UK, in the Nordic countries, you wouldn't find these kind of connotations. In Germany, it's still a little bit a societal question of whether a woman and a mother should not spend all of her energy and focus on the family and the children. And it's a strange discussion because actually some of our most successful female entrepreneurs have very large families in Germany. But yes, in Germany, it's a bit a societal question. It's also a question that has a huge political attention. I don't think that stops women to become successful in business. I really think it's more about role models and seeing others how it could work that would trigger more female attention.
So having Angela Merkel as your prime minister, does that help women see that it's possible to be in a leadership position, or is she just seen as a sort of an odd exception?
But that might also be a question to ask to those women that are not so active and successful in business. For me, it's certainly a proof that in a very traditional country such as Germany, which might on the outset doesn't even look as traditional, to have a female chancellor and to have that female chancellor now win almost the full majority in parliament, she missed it actually by 4 mandates, is a strong proof that it is possible in Germany.
Do you think there's certain skill sets that women bring to the table, a certain viewpoint, a certain filter? There are studies that show that companies with more women on their board tend to be more commercially successful for some reason. Do you think there's certain things women bring that make them perceptive in ways that others aren't?
That question is, of course, difficult to answer without falling into stereotypes. So for simplification purposes, yes, I'll come up with a few of those. I believe women are the better listeners and the better communicators. So we are more perceptive and receptive of what we're hearing, which also makes us understand our customers better. And I think we tend to have a more integrating talent, bringing a team and a company behind the idea and the proposal and the business. And I think all of that helps to build strong, successful businesses.
I'm speaking to Uli Fricke, founder of Triangle Venture Group in Germany. Coming up, we'll ask Uli why do women only account for 10% of startups worldwide and the importance of culture when doing business in a foreign country. On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Carla Sapsford Newman. We're speaking today to Uli Fricke, founder of Triangle Venture Group in Germany. We recently spoke to her at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit here in Kuala Lumpur.
There was a statistic today quoted by the Kauffman Foundation, less than 10% of tech startups are led by women. Is that your experience and why do you think that's a particular issue in the tech industry?
That's certainly our experience as well. And actually, in tech startup, of course, it's even more so than in other startup, but it's true for all other areas of business as well. My experience in Europe, and I'm really focusing on Europe with my comments. I don't want to standardize globally. It's not that women don't have the education. And nowadays, it's almost also not any longer that women don't have the opportunities. It's that women don't take these opportunities when they present themselves. And that, of course, begs the question as to why is that opportunity not being taken up? And that, as always in life, it's a complex answer to that. There's many reasons. Some of them might be perception in society. For many women, it's also that it is actually a tough job to start a technology company and to scale a technology company in the global market. It's not a 9-to-5 job, no matter how much we try to balance family and job. So not every woman in Europe wants to go for that. And then those, and I mentioned that before, that are interested probably find it difficult to see good role models.
For some reason in the United States, there seem to be more women on boards. It's not in tremendous numbers, but sometimes in European multinationals, they tend to bring over American women because they say there's a lack of talent in Europe. Do you think that's a role model problem or cultural issue?
That's a very good question. And because there are less women at the moment in these kind of leadership positions in Europe, there is a smaller pool of talent to source from. That might be one of the reasons. Another one is that certainly there is a huge qualitative difference of learnings in the American and in the European business environment. I believe there's almost no country in the world that is as strong as teaching its leaders right from the outset of how to present an idea, how to communicate it in a very attractive and compelling way to make a case. That's nothing we learn in Europe, or if we learn it, we learn it very late in our careers, more in a learning by doing approach. And that always gives an edge to somebody with that business background from the US who has grown up with that, might be presenting the same kind of concepts pursuing the same ideas, but being able to present them in a much more attractive way. It's pretty obvious who is being chosen.
A German businessman once told me that it's bad taste in Germany to beat your own drum or to highlight your accomplishments, either verbally or on your CV. It's just seen as bad taste. So is this something that Europeans or Germans will need to overcome if they're going to succeed in showing others the value of their accomplishments?
Yeah, that is certainly very, very true. Understatement is very much a German behavior. There is not a lot of successful German entrepreneurs that are known, not even in Germany, mind you, globally. And we have lots of companies that are entrepreneurial-led, that are world market leaders in their industries. Nobody knows these companies, mind you, the entrepreneurs. And that is typical German. And yes, I believe we need to overcome that. We don't have that pride in articulating somebody has been elected the number one business person in the year and entrepreneur of the year. This is not something that comes easy to Germans. We have to think about that and do this proactively and consciously on an international scale, but we wouldn't necessarily do it at home.
Does that affect your business in terms of when you're making roadshows or when you're potentially pitching to potential investors? How do you overcome some of these cultural norms?
Yeah, German businesses, and the same is true for some other European countries. France is not so dissimilar, by the way. German businesses and entrepreneurs, if they pitch to international investors, for example, they need to understand that they, for their own gut feeling, they have to substantially oversell themselves and their ideas in order to be credible to those investors. If they would give the same pitch they'd give to their German local bank, the international investors would say, completely not interesting. So yes, that's a learning curve that German businesses, and in particular smaller startup businesses, have to learn.
And do you think MBA programs are teaching this kind of thing that is understood but not spelled out? Are they starting to teach this sort of cultural understanding?
Definitely. In particular, the international MBA programs, no matter where they run, whether they run in Germany, in Europe, or abroad, teach these things. And it's very helpful. And we see that there is a more consciousness, at least, in the younger generation that are now entering the business world.
The other thing, from a consumer point of view, there have been studies done that women tend to make something up to 80% of consumer choices for their family, and yet many companies don't seem to be factoring in their pitches and their marketing and their product placement and with this segment. So how do you incorporate that into the work that you do, or the awareness that you have?
Well, it's obviously a mistake to not factor in women for any business, no matter whether it's for talent sourcing or for understanding your customers. And because we invest in such young technology companies with a clear focus towards commercial successes, of course, whenever we deal with end consumer businesses, the target market needs, or when looking at the target market, we need to understand the women. And we're very conscious of that. So we try to factor it in.
What cultural accommodations have you made for Malaysia in your pitches and in your conversations, in your discussions here?
Well, the biggest one, being German, is patience. Because the pace of decision-taking and execution is a very different one here than it is at home. And that then also relates to communication styles. I'm not sure it's a good idea with my very direct, result-oriented, execution-oriented German communication behaviors. I'd land a lot of successes here in Malaysia.
Do you have local partners who can help translate the culture to you?
Yes, we have wonderful local partners who helped me a lot to understand how successful businesses are being done here, and who helped me to appreciate beyond the appreciation I already had on the outset, the framework here that is in existence. And actually, for startup companies and technology companies, Malaysia is a wonderful place to be, irrespective of where the companies come from.
One other issue that's come up in some of the panels here at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit is about motivators. So, for instance, what motivates an entrepreneur or an innovator or an inventor is not necessarily money, but yet, of course, for businesses, that is their bottom line. So how do you motivate both sides of the fence, from the investors to the inventors?
I don't think it's a contradiction, actually, because a successful business that understands its customers and provides a solution to those customers' problems actually focuses pretty much on what typically entrepreneurs and inventors would do. They would like to see their idea being deployed. They would like to see their business find customers and thrive. They would like to see their technology translated into products that are being used by the market, because that makes them proud. And on top of that, most entrepreneurs would like to have a certain freedom to do the things in the way they think is the right way. All of that translates, if it's done properly, into market success. And it's not so difficult to then generate a profitable business if there is market success. So we see failures usually if the translation from technology to market doesn't work. We don't see failures if the market is there and then the business still fails.
Any parting advice for Malaysian entrepreneurs, or any parting advice for women entrepreneurs or wannabe women entrepreneurs?
Keep up your passion and don't give up. And that's actually for everybody who wants to do something, no matter whether that's starting a family, starting a business, for a man or a woman. Everything is allowed, but not to give up.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Uli Fricke, a managing general partner of Triangle Venture Capital Group in Germany.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.